Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The initial shock, I think, is going to be here for a little while down here in Houston. But, you know, as cooler heads kind of think about it a little bit, I think it was a move that needed to be made. But there's so many interesting aspects to it, because Tucker is only going to be a Cub for potentially 1 year unless they decide to go out there and try and sign him to a long-term deal. So I think that's where, you know, down here in Houston, we've got to temper our you know, our anger a little bit in losing a guy like Kyle Tucker, because it was going to be one more year somewhere else, or it was going to be one more year here with the Astros. And I think a lot of it was dictated by what happened with Juan Soto signing that astronomical deal with the New York Mets. So initial reaction is, damn, we lost another good one. But that's what's been happening down here in Houston the last 4 or 5 years.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome to our friends at the Chicago Sports Network. And that's the voice of Jeff Blom, the former White Sox World Series hero, who knows a little something about baseball and is broadcasting for the Astros.
Good synopsis of what's going on, why the Astros were motivated to trade.
Yeah.
And why the Cubs were willing to pounce. And what Jed Hoyer did on Friday was something, frankly, I don't know a lot of us in Chicago thought he was capable of doing any longer. Taking a risk. This is a calculated risk.
It's a bold move.
It's a bold move. It's a great move. It's the kind of move you want your big market team to make. It's the Cubs behaving like a big market team again. And it's announcing the fact, and I guess maybe reminding us, that they will go into the season as the favorites in that division, as they should be.
Well, they gave up a lot for a guy on an expiring contract.
Mm-hmm.
But as you heard Jeff saying there, you know, this is a guy who's got his eye on the prize being the Soto money. So you're getting, you shouldn't get a good year from a good player. You should get the best year from one of the best players.
He should lead you to the playoffs.
And he should put this team on his back.
Yes.
In a way that tells the rest of baseball, come for me. My contract is expiring at the end of the year. I'm worth $750 million.
I don't know if he's going to get that. Well, but he could get that.
That's his message.
The message is very loud and very clear. That's what makes the Cubs trade very surprising, because they are in a position where he could walk into free agency and they could lose him after giving up a first-round pick in Cam Smith, a quality third baseman in Isaac Paredes, and a
who
young
they got
pitcher.
For Morrell.
Christopher Morrell
so
trade.
Morrell.
Yeah. And Hayden Wesneski. to a lesser degree, had been somewhat of a disappointment last year. He gave up way too many home runs.
He wasn't.
Way too many.
He wasn't as Wesnasty.
He was not as Wesnasty.
As he had been.
As he had been, as we had liked him to see him. That was fun. It was a great era, the Wesnasty era.
You know what I liked about him is the energy. He had this like kind of like little jump to him, you know, had this kind of, it felt like nervous energy.
What I liked about him was every time I was at Wrigley, it seemed like before games, he spent as much time with kids and fans as any player that I saw out there on a regular basis.
Get rid of the kind of children player. And presumably this is...
No, this is good for business.
Okay.
This is great for business.
Kyle Tucker will be
Kyle
nice
Tucker. You mentioned Soto. Let's, for a quick minute, just compare the two since 2021. The courtesy of Marquis, who put this out immediately on social media. The 162-game average since 2021, Juan Soto and Kyle Tucker. Soto averaged 34 home runs, Kyle Tucker 35. Extra base hits, Soto 64, Tucker 73. Slugging percentage, Soto 520, Tucker 527. WAR, Soto 6.8, Tucker 6.5.
Does he walk as much as Soto can? Soto can walk any at bat.
He's a grind. Soto, you're right, is very selective at the plate. I have to look at the numbers to look at the walks versus plate appearances to know that. But the bottom line is that the slug that the Cubs were missing in the middle of that order, they just found some. It just arrived.
Is he the best baseball player in Chicago?
Yes.
Is he the best professional athlete in Chicago?
It's a very good question. It's a fair question. And before he's even like put on a Cub uniform or announced his arrival officially, I think you look at the best athlete in Chicago right now, and the Bears, it'd have to be Caleb Williams. We had the conversation about the biggest star in 5 years, the biggest star next year. Who's it going to be? Kyle Tucker's going to own 2025 in Chicago. I think that's going to be the case. I don't know who it would be on the Bulls. Zach LaVine, you are excited about what he's able to do, but he's also a guy probably going to be traded or going to be shopped. The Hawks, I love Connor Bedard. He had a great goal yesterday to win that game. That was a clutch goal at a clutch moment. I think hockey is...
He's in a slump.
He's in a little bit of a slump, and hockey's still kind of hard for a lot of people to pay attention to, as bad as the Hawks are. The Cubs are going to be in contention. They should be in contention. Kyle Tucker's better than anybody the White Sox have right now. I think Luis Robert Jr. could make a case, but not given the current state of affairs there and given the season he's coming off of. So when you go through the teams as quickly as we just did, that's an easy question to answer. Kyle Tucker is the guy.
So Kyle Teal is less than Kyle Tucker at this moment.
KT, yes.
A lot of Kyles coming to town.
I like Kyle Teal, though. Don't you like everything you've heard about him?
I hear he's a very colorful personality.
He is bright and cheery.
That's a Teal joke.
Yes, it is. Kind of a tweener.
Differently.
Kind of a tweener, isn't he?
I think he'll be fine.
Okay.
If he gets a chance to play.
I love this about the Cubs move, though, because I know it's easy for us to say on the outside, but we love moves, let's face it, that say urgency. We love moves that kind of put the future behind the now and the present. And for Jed Hoyer, as we talked about during the pick six, the future is now. He's entering the final year of his contract.
Right.
2027, he may not be here to worry about what they're missing in Cam Smith if Cam Smith becomes an all-star about that time. But now, 2025, they get to the postseason, they make a playoff run, and they're in contention. Easy to justify Tom Ricketts going to Jed and saying, thank you, well done, come back.
Speaking of Tom, do you believe in your heart of hearts that the Midwest Bank is willing to put out the cabbage for a Kyle Tucker moving forward?
Now, to whiteboard it, you are referring to this as a Midwest Bank, the Cubs operation, because Ken Rosenthal did so in The Athletic.
I was echoing his comment.
Yes, you were. Very tongue-in-cheek.
Very much so.
And it was a funny line. Something between Ken Rosenthal and the Ricketts, family.
He's mad at the
tweaking
Ricketts.
Him a little bit.
He's going after
him. He called him a dork of the week a couple weeks ago.
And he's a guy who wears a bow tie for a living.
That's right. So he would know.
That's all I'm saying.
He would know what a dork of the week looks
like. That's the joke.
That is the joke.
I don't think that that's the case. I wonder if he feels differently about it now that they've made a move for the present. Or does the whole Bellinger to the Yankees thing, the whole idea of them not cutting funds yet, he's basically saying that they're not operating like a big market ball club.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a move that only a big market ball club would make.
Well, in the context of what you're referring to, and it was a funny line, and he was in reference to Rosenthal believing the Cubs now should go after Alex Bregman in free agency. And this is what he said about that potential move. That is the kind of plan the Cubs actually might pursue if owner Tom Ricketts were operating the team as a big market behemoth rather than an efficient Midwest bank.
You know,
it's a good line.
That, but I'd take an efficient Midwest bank if I could.
You would, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely take an efficient Midwest bank. I am very curious, though, to get back to your question, and it's a good one. I don't know. We'll spend the season debating this. I don't expect the Cubs to be at the front of the Kyle Tucker sweepstakes next offseason.
No, this is a 1 year. This is an expiring contract. The reason that Houston traded him was because they had already made the decision they weren't going to be able to sign him long term.
And I think that's an understandable pivot for them.
And he didn't give them that option because he wants to hit free agency. So the Cubs know going into the year that they have effectively a rental player.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to fall in love with the place. He's not going to say the energy here, the city's beautiful.
But
goodness gracious, the summer in Chicago is awesome.
I hesitate, but I did make the reference before. I said this is the biggest trade the Cubs have made since they acquired Aroldis Chapman in 2016.
What happened with him?
They won the World Series and he walked.
He left.
But he was here as a rental.
Here? Yes.
And it was well worth the effort. It was well worth giving up Gleyber Torres. It was well worth everything that went into that deal. Likewise, the Cubs have got to win the World Series or get to the World Series for this to justify giving up a 3-for-1.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm asking that aloud.
I mean, if they win the division and make the playoffs, you'd love for them to make noise in the playoffs. But I think if they win the division, and that may happen given what's going on in Milwaukee.
Would that justify it? I mean, that's just one thing we're going to have to debate because I think the definition of a successful trade. What makes this trade successful? Do they have to win the division? Do they sneak into the wild card?
No, I think they need to win the division.
If they don't get into the postseason, they now have set this up as a colossal failure.
If that's fair. I think if they don't make the postseason, this is a failure.
Because you just gave up three guys for one.
Because you gave up three.
Now, I get it. I love it. This is an easy trade to get behind. But if you don't make the postseason, it's like, oh my gosh, who's next?
It's an easy trade to get behind because Isak Paredes was pretty bad when he came over here. It didn't work out right away. I don't know if it would
have worked out. Deadpool hitter, probably at 35 homers there.
Yeah, he'll do much better
in that
there.
Park, yeah.
Wesneski was no longer considered the up-and-coming entity. He was now kind of a guy that just didn't quite.
Sweeper wasn't sweeping.
And then I think that Cam Smith is just an unknown. He was a first-round draft
pick. Six straight home runs in six straight games. And that's what he did in minor leagues in Class A last year after signing or getting drafted by the Cubs. He hit a home run in six straight games. Remember that? Those were the days. It's good.
Considered good. Even at the Class A
it's good.
Level?
Yes.
Just making sure.
Any level. Professional baseball is professional baseball. That's what the Astros saw in him to make him the center of the deal. Now, let's go back to Chicago. What does that mean? The Cubs are incomplete right now as a roster, but what does that mean initially at third base? I would like it to mean Matt Shaw come on down. There's a suggestion that the Cubs prefer Shaw as a middle infielder. Second base.
Yeah.
Does that mean Nico Horner's on the move? If Nico Horner's...
It's a rumor he's going to Seattle?
Yeah. Luis Castillo for Nico Horner. I saw that mentioned. That would be quite a trade.
Who are they trading for Dylan Cease? Who are the names
I got to look at that. I don't know what the names are.
That would take a lot of
I have to say, saw that and I chuckled. I'm like, would the Padres... Why are the Padres trading Dylan Cease?
It doesn't make a ton of sense, but they do spend a lot of money and they do wacky things.
But they just traded for him.
You know, maybe they feel they'll get more. Maybe they feel like they got a bargain on that trade. Depending on who the Cubs give up, I think we're more familiar with the Cub names than maybe even the White Sox names. I'm talking about the big minor league names.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cubs ended up trading for Dylan Cease and giving up a King's ransom of prospects, I think we'd all look at the White Sox and ask them, why didn't you get that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it if you're a Sox fan, and I think that would be the only way to look at it if you're a Sox fan. I don't know.
It would
if the
be
Cubs,
hard to look at it.
I do think the Cubs still have enough prospect capital to get Dylan
tons.
Cease.
Don't they have seven of the top 100?
They do now. One. They still do. But I just don't understand the motivation from the Padres' perspective. Now,
right.
I think the Cubs could use another frontline starter, and that would remove some of the doubts, if you have them, about them being the favorite in the division entering next season. I think they are now. They could improve that chance. Sasaki, Cease, Castillo. My goodness. What if they sign Justin Verlander? Is he still on the table? Dustin, you think he's still on the table? Verlander's still a possibility. They need one more frontline starter. They need a closer. They could go out and buy in free agency. And then we're talking.
Verlander, I know he's a great name and he was a great entity. I don't know that he's still as good. I don't know that how many innings he can eat.
Yeah, I'm not so keen on that idea.
It just gives me pause.
It gives me pause. A lot of pause.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He's probably an injured list waiting.
Yes.
He's going to be there. He's an injury waiting to happen at this stage of his career. Still could have some magical moments left. And he may want to come to Wrigley Field, a place he has always kind of liked it for, based on reports. But I don't know that your offseason is going to be made.
Is he 39?
No, he's 42, I think.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, what are you doing?
I think he is old.
Are they going to get visited by the ghost of Christmas past as well?
I think Justin Verlander would be an extra. He was born February 20th, 1983. He will be 42 in February. So
why doesn't he go join Bill Belichick's coaching staff?
See, Bill Belichick made an appearance at the Carolina basketball game over the weekend.
Did he really?
Yes.
What did he say?
He looked just
resplendent
and powder blue.
Yeah.
I thought you would exactly love that.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of good powder blue in your wardrobe.
I've been accused of wearing Honolulu blue and looking like I support
it's
the
now
Lions.
Carolina blue. It's going to be now Carolina blue.
Yeah. Mike has those shorts on still.
He does.
Under his jeans. This whole Haynes thing is made up.
Hey, did you see the Cubs got a catcher as well?
Yes.
Carson Kelly.
So they've got two catchers.
Dustin, during the updates, I think, talked about him. I saw him referred to as well as a backup catcher. He's making $5.5 million a year. I have a 2-year contract. I think $11 million. Is that the going rate for a backup catcher? Is he your starter? Is Amaya in trouble? I don't know.
I think Amaya's the starter. Who else? Didn't they get another catcher, Dustino? Wasn't there another move made earlier? No, they got somebody else. Begins with a T. What I'm thinking.
Carson Kelly is a guy that
Dustin.
He's a definite upgrade for them. He was one of the top four guys available from the backup pool. He's also fantastic against left-handed pitchers.
Oh.
So I think you can already pencil him in to be the starting catcher when they're facing a lefty.
That's something for sure. It's his fifth team. He's well-traveled.
Mm.
A lot of his backup catchers well-traveled. And I will take your word for it. My guess is that at some point in the conversation, he's going to be known as a good framer. All these backup catchers.
Well, we got Bruce next to get a little deeper on it. I looked at his numbers yesterday during the podcast, and he's really, really good against the left-handed starting pitching.
Okay, so you think he is going to be a
2-day-a-week guy.
Miguel Amaya is
awful against lefties.
Is essentially a platoon player now?
Well, I don't know about platoon, but I mean, he's also a guy, like, remember in the beginning with Contreras, where Contreras would start and then you get to the seventh and they would take Contreras out and bring somebody in as a defensive replacement. Mm-hmm. I think that we might be looking at as well.
You know, now with Kyle Tucker coming to town, it's interesting to see that we evaluate drafts all the time. The 2015 amateur baseball draft, the Cubs now have three of the top 10 players that were drafted. Dansby Swanson first.
Yep.
Kyle Tucker fifth. Ian Happ ninth.
Wow.
Teammates now on the same team, in the same lineup.
They did. They signed a guy from the Angels, Matt Theis.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about that.
They got another backup. He's also a left-hander.
The Cubs and Sox are both collecting catchers.
There you go. The Sox are just younger.
Yeah.
Okay. And
better.
All right. Look, I'm glad they made a move. I'm very curious to see what happens next. And there are all sorts of rumors. We'll talk to Bruce about Bellinger going to the Yankees and the holdup is money. And the Yankees don't want to pay the full freight. And the Cubs apparently want to get out from under that money. And they feel like he's good enough that he would help them enough that they should get full freight. So we'll see if that happens. We'll ask Bruce if he's heard anything recently. We'll talk to him next. Mullion on the Score.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
I got the hustle. They got the muscle. The Chicago Cubs are on their way.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow, broke that one out. We are delighted to welcome our friend Bruce Levine, and he joins us on the Aturo Hotline. Your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. I don't know if you remember that one, Bruce, but
I can forget it right now.
Brandon's got the tape, and he's willing to sell it to you for a certain price.
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning. I think it would be worth it, don't you? Wow, that's keep my day job.
So help us out. How good a move is this? How, you know, the Brewers are making moves to keep the Cubs in contention, to make them the favorite in the NL Central. It feels that way. But my goodness, bringing in a guy like Kyle Tucker really aids in that quest.
So the one thing that resonates is that they're trying to win, okay? That's the general look at it. Do they always try to win? Yeah, every team in baseball, in major leagues, are trying to win. But this, you know, statement of going after the best player available for only 1 year, you know, because he can be and probably will be a free agent next November, tells you all you need to know about what the people are thinking at Wrigley Field from Mr. Ricketts on down, that, hey, we're going to try to win not only the division, but go deep into the playoffs. This is that's the move this thing talks about. They're not done yet. They're working on multiple other trades here. I think they're going to be right around $200 million right now without any other additions. So I think people, you know, if you're a Chicago Cub fan, you have to feel good about it. I have not heard anybody other than wondering about Cam Smith and is he the next, you know, is he a superstar of the future, which is something you worry about. But this, you know, this trade had to be made if you're going to try to win.
All right, Bruce, but the buzzkill would be letting Bellinger go to the Yankees for whatever they would get in return. Where does that stand, and what's the reason that that hasn't been done yet?
He was a 770 OPS guy last year, okay? How much?
I'm aware of all the numbers. They're a better team with him than without him. I'm aware of the numbers, yeah. But why would they get Kyle Tucker and trade Cody Bellinger?
Do we know what the rest of the team is going to look like? Do we know what we're getting back here for Bellinger? Do you know what the rest of the plan is about is Horner going to be a player on this team this year? Are they making other additions? I like the idea that, you look at their offense last year, and they're 13th in Major League Baseball. That doesn't tell you really anything about their year. It really doesn't, because for May and June, they were the worst offense in baseball. Okay, they just, you know, that's when the playoff run was ended, that in those 2 months. So I don't care. I agree with you. I don't care about numbers in general. Is Bellinger a good player? Yeah, I'm not going to say he's not. But is he the player that you saw last year, and the player that you saw the first 3 months of 2023? Or is he the player that was one of the best hitters in baseball from July through September 2023? That's the question. And what is that worth to you as far as going forward and trying to win? Is there economics involved here? Yes. And I think, David, that's what you push up against, don't you?
Yeah. I think they're a better team with them than without them. And if it's a salary dump, it seems like you better have an alternative than what you have now.
Bruce, define a salary dump. In other words, if the holdup with the Yankees is indeed over money, as has been reported, does that mean the Cubs are willing to take less in an offer provided the Yankees will eat the contract? Or does it mean that the Cubs are just looking to gain money to make other deals and they want to invest that money differently? Or does it mean that they think they can get something good out of the Yankees? I would doubt the last part.
Well, I will say this, and those are all really good questions. The idea that Hoyer has a certain amount of money to spend only is a reality, okay? We don't know what that number is. Last year, it was $237 million. This year, the cap, CBA cap to go over is $241. Are they going to spend every dollar they have to get to 241? I don't know that, but I think what they're trying to do is multiple things at once. Okay, have a lesser payroll, have better players, have more production, have the flexibility to move players when they're not productive. I think the one underrated move that Hoyer made at those meetings was talking to Joel Wolf, the agent for Seiya Suzuki, and getting the okay to trade him if the right deal comes up for them and Suzuki okays it. I think that was huge, okay? Because flexibility for a general manager this time of year, or a president of baseball operations in the case of Hoyer, is essential to becoming not only a good team, but a great team down the line. They didn't have very much flexibility here. So it took some cojones to go and ask the agent if this player who's had two really good years offensively for the Cubs, if you could trade his player. And, you know, I admire the way that they went about this. So the flexibility of the money, I think, is more essential than the money itself.
I know what you're saying. I'll admire if they can't actually trade him and when they actually do, because that would be a step in the right direction.
I mean, if you tell me Bellinger is a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy again, like he was earlier in his career, and what he showed the last 3 months of 2023, I'm telling you, this guy's got to be on the team.
He's missed some games. He's missed 30 games a year. I get it, but right. I think that you're better team with him than Suzuki. I'd rather have him in that lineup than say a Suzuki.
Right. It's a prettier lineup. Okay. You know, I mean, from the view from December of the year before to April late March, early April next year, I agree. But let's give him the opportunity to make some more changes here, because he's going to get more pitching. He's probably going to try to move some position player things around. And God only knows they need a closer. Okay, where's that coming from?
Well, who is the closer that they're looking at, and what's realistic to expect?
Well, I think a guy like Kirby Yates, who's a veteran pitcher, has some age on him, but has really come back from injury a couple of years ago, is being looked at by four or five teams out there, and I think the Cubs are one of them for sure. Can they make this happen? Hoyer told us one thing that we had to keep our eye on as reporters that were in Dallas at the meetings. And he said, we're making trades, and then, you know, we followed up with, well, is that first? He said, we're making trades first. So he wants to make all the deals he can before he hits the free agent market and is able to look at it that way. Now, guys like Yates might be gone by that time. We don't know. But they are very proactive. They're looking at Jesus Luzardo of the Marlins right now, a young pitcher, another left-hander, okay? Might have a whole left-handed rotation, but who cares if they get people out? You know, again, young players coming back. What avenue is there for young players to get into this lineup other than Shaw at third base starting this year? Where is the Triantos? You know, where is Casey? Where is Alcantara? Where are the spots for these guys? Are they too young and too good to be sitting on the Cub bench? If that's the case, and they're going for it like it appears they are, one or two of those guys might be traded before the start of next year.
Bruce, do you feel like the impetus of this action, signing a guy with an expiring deal, giving up three players to do so, tapping into your minor leagues, which was something they didn't want to do up to this point, is that fueled by Jed's contract situation? Is he separating his own situation from that of his team?
I'm not really sure about that. That's the easy look, right? It's easy
question.
For everybody to say he's trying to save his job. I think Jed Hoyer is a really confident front office person that wants to do the best job he can, like all of us. You know, if he's on a one-year deal or a one-day or one-month deal, I'm not sure that changes. I think he knows, like Mr. Ricketts knows, like Crane Kenny knows, everybody that runs the place over there, they need more impact players. I mean, anybody can figure that out. A good team, it doesn't have the star power or the better players to get to the top of the hill in their division or into the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs. So you add a Tucker, you know, you add Boyd, you add more pitching, you know, two or three more moves. And is Hoyer trying to be stealth about it and shift money around? Sure. Any good executive is trying to do that.
When you look at the next move, which is more likely? Nico Hoerner on the move, a free agent signing like you thought Kirby Yates may fit. He's 37 years old, Bruce. Or a starting pitcher like, I don't know, Justin Verlander, Luis Castillo. What do you think is the next component move to this Kyle Tucker acquisition?
Yeah, I think more pitching. You know, I think Luzardo is something that they'd really like to get done here in the next few days. They've been working on it. The supposed dump for Bellinger has to bring back a good player, okay? You can't just, you know, you just can't show up and say, hey, we traded Bellinger and the commitment of $50 million over the next 2 years, and we got, you know, Joe Smith. You know, you can't just say that. So they're working hard to make something good happen there. I heard the Giants might have inquired about Bellinger as well. They don't have to trade him today. You know, it's December the 16th. There's plenty of time left to get that stuff done. Right now, I think the payroll's sitting right around 200, like I said. Again, will it be, you know, 220? Will they go over the luxury tax, try to win? These are things that we don't know. I assume not, but we'll have to see and look at this. I don't think they can go halfway to try to win at this point. The Tucker pronouncement tells you we are in it. We're trying to win this year. We're not just trying to win our division. The last few years, all we've heard is, hey, we're trying to win our division. We think we're the best team in the division.
Are they the best team in the division now? I mean, with what they're doing?
I would never say that Milwaukee, no matter who they lose, is out of it, because they make a lot of trades. They develop a lot of players that are really good baseball players. And I would never say that because Milwaukee was expected to finish third or fourth after losing the players they did in 2023-24, right? They lost Corbin Burns, right?
Yep.
All they do is win the division by 10 games. So you can't say that. You can't do the on-paper thing with them. They're an outlier when it comes to winning. But are the Cubs an improved player team from last year? I think, you know, as we sit here in December, it appears they certainly are. Kyle Tucker is going to make any team a lot better if he's out there 150 games.
Quickly, Bruce, did the Tucker signing affect their chances of getting Sasaki, making a statement about wanting to win now?
No. Sasaki's going to make somewhere between $4 and $6 million. It's all international money. You have him for 6 years. As Joe Wolf said, we're looking for a softer landing for Sasaki, meaning he doesn't necessarily want to be the second or third international star on a team like he would be with the Dodgers. With the Cubs, not necessarily won't be that. We've heard the White Sox name in on Sasaki. There's 30 teams that would love to have Sasaki, and they all feel confident if they have the international money right now that he can be a part of their team starting in spring.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Guys, have a great day.
You too.
That is our guy, Bruce Levine. It's always fun to talk to Bruce and to hear him sing. Brings a lot of
hearing Bruce sing. Yeah. After that, things got really interesting. But that was something we will unfortunately be in our head all day.
We have a lot of people who want to check in. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
They got the hustle. Yeah. They got the muscle. Yeah. The Chicago Cubs are on their way.
I am excited about it. It reminded me almost of about 10 years ago when we got the news that the Cubs had signed John Lester. And you thought, okay, that's a big statement that says we are trying to win right now.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always good to hear from Pat, Hall of Famer, and that's an interesting comp.
Yes, it was. On Saturday morning inside the clubhouse, Pat Hughes likened the Kyle Tucker trade to the 2015 signing of John Lester. And that was legitimacy that arrived when he signed with the Cubs, and I felt like Kyle Tucker's trade reflected the urgency of the situation. As you pointed out in your question to Bruce, Jed Hoyer has 1 year left on his contract. This is a move made by an executive who isn't worried about the future because the future's now.
Mm.
And I also found it very interesting, Bruce pointing out, which Bob Nightingale tweeted after the trade, that the Cubs are still showing interest in Marlins ace Jesus Luzardo, lefty.
Yep.
Another left-hander. 2 years of control makes a lot of sense, but
that will cost you prospects.
That will cost you prospects.
Yes.
Are you willing to give up prospects for another win-now type of guy? When you also have, you're loaded up with lefties.
Oh, come on. Can any pitching staff be too left-handed?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Ask and answer. But you are loading up with lefties. You got Shota. You got Steele. And if you got Luzardo, wow. That would be quite a staff. That would be quite a move. Don't know what it would take. Wait and see. Also, Nightingale points out the Cubs are also seeking a third baseman. Who could that be? Alex Bregman? They got Gage Workman in the Rule 5 draft from the Tigers.
You can't count on a Rule 5 guy.
I'm not. I'm just saying in the mix. You know what I want? Opening day. I want Matt Shaw at third base. I think that would be so much fun. But I want Bellinger in the lineup, too. I want it all.
Can Nico Horner play third base?
Yes. Why?
Well, because if Bellinger sticks around and you don't trade Nico.
When is he available?
You get Michael Bush over at second.
Hurt right now?
I mean, he's got a forearm. I think he's ready at the beginning of the season.
Okay. Yeah. He'll be ready in spring training or at the beginning of the season?
Do you think they're going to keep both Suzuki and Bellinger?
I don't. I'm hoping that Suzuki's the one that's...
Me too. We're aligned there. We agree on that.
Well,
market.
I mean, the problem is Seiya would have to be the DH because now you've got enough.
He's got to be the DH.
There's enough outfield.
I would ask an uncomfortable question.
No other spot for
him. I don't want to be a buzzkill, but I do have to ask this question. Are we assuming too much too soon about Pete Crow Armstrong?
No, he's ready to start making an impact.
Okay.
The question is with Pete Crow Armstrong, last year he batted eighth or ninth most of the time.
He did.
Yeah. Is he ready to bat first?
I don't know yet. I don't know that he is.
That's the next step for him.
But
right?
I do want to know, in all this conversation, we haven't really mentioned him because we are assuming he's going to continue this. The trajectory is going to be stardom.
Listen, this is not, it's like you're coming back from surgery. This is more jumping from level to level than climbing upstairs. This isn't a straight trajectory. I think he'd hit another level last year. By the end of the year, he had gotten to a different level. I think there's another level out there for him.
I do too.
I think he starts kind of where he ended last year.
The conversation is out there because I do want to know. I don't want to be guilty of assuming too much about him.
So you want to keep Belly as a
protection
cover for if he runs
slides.
A foul?
I don't know. I mean, he's no longer PC Triple A. He's a guy that took that next step. He's a guy that you trust now moving forward.
Yeah, I think he is.
I like that, but I just want to make sure that we're not overlooking that in all of this projection about who the Cubs have in this lineup that looks fantastic. And I love the idea of Matt Shaw at third base. I really do because of the offseason he's had.
Who's the best one of these guys? Is it Shaw? Is he the best young player? Is Triantos better than him? As good as him?
Owen Casey might have the best profile.
So why not? Why don't you want Owen Casey? Because they have a lot of outfielders.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited about Shaw because of the position he plays.
And Happer's now that going nowhere.
Nope.
Saya could go somewhere.
PCA is going to be there for the next 5 to 7 to 10 years. Who knows?
And Bellinger could be moved. You just have a lot. That's all. And Owen Casey is a pretty good player.
But
are you going to trade him for someone?
You don't want more than two prospects in a team that's built to win now in a lineup.
Okay.
So you've got PCA and you've got Matt Shaw. That's enough. Because you're still kind of unsure about behind the plate offensively.
See, I think you could have a couple more. I think you could have Owen Casey, even if he's not starting every day, and Shaw, if you're working guys around. And I consider PCA a starter now.
Okay,
I'm leaving that idea behind that he's not a guy. I wouldn't put him on my prospects list. How's that?
That's generous.
Really?
Yeah.
Still think he's a prospect?
I think I want more than 2 months.
All right. Well, you know what I want? I want Biggs time.
Biggs time.
Let's get to our guy Brad Biggs. We'll get his pick on the game. We'll find out exactly blow for blow what happens. We'll talk to him about the game tonight. It's Biggs time next. Mully and Haw on the score.